The first lesson for this fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill to all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I think the mic's turned on. Do you want to...
I was just about to ask. Oh. So I'd be the sound system in the back.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't have
to. I can do a lot of things without that one.
Yeah, let's turn it on.
Yeah.
It shows red. All righty. Let us read together the verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Carry on. The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And I invite the children to come forward.
Now the question is this mic spotted up enough where you can hear me? I turned it up, but I didn't want to turn it too far up because the memories are not too far gone of when. So I hope that we can avoid that. But thank you all for coming up and being up here with me this morning. We just heard from Jesus talking about how his voice is unique. And if we are his sheep, we should hear his voice and be able to recognize it. What do you think is one of the easiest voices for you to hear without seeing who's talking and know who it is?
You.
Me?
Me.
Jesus? Hey, we got one of those like standards, you know, the Sunday school. What does Jesus' voice sound like?
Jesus.
Jesus sounds like, yeah, Jesus just sounds like Jesus?
Jesus' voice sounds like silence.
One that I can tell right now is Evie. What? Is there an answer down here
that I'm not hearing?
Evie.
I know why.
So you recognize her voice?
Yes.
I would figure out Wilder's voice anywhere, even though you want to see him.
Is Wilder your friend?
Yeah, I hang out with him like every day.
So your friend that you know and you hang out with every day, your best friend, you would recognize their voice.
I would recognize Anya's voice.
Anya's voice. Is Anya a good friend of yours too?
Yes, my teacher's.
Your teacher's voice? Because you hear it? Yeah.
Your microphone.
Almost every day. It is coming off.
Yeah.
All of your family's voices. So there are these familiar voices that you hear. And how does that make you feel when you hear these familiar voices?
Good morning, class.
Yeah, do you feel like good morning to me? Because your teacher said good morning. You start the day, yeah. Anybody else, these familiar voices, how do they make you feel? How does it feel when you hear your friend's voice and you know you're getting to hang out all day together?
Feels like fall.
Probably makes you feel pretty good, right?
It feels
like you're about to learn something new about a video game. New video games are going to work their way in some.
A certain reader from the audiobook, the Percy Jackson books are all read by the same person, and then I'll be listening to a book, and I'm like, oh, I recognize this.
Yeah, familiar voice and
reading a book on tape, that makes you feel comfortable. You feel like, you know, this story is going to be good in the way that they tell it because you know that voice. What is important to hear these familiar voices. And Jesus tells us the most familiar voice that we will ever hear.
So
it may sound a little different. It may sound like silence. You may just know it when you hear it. But it's Jesus' own voice. Yes. I'm here to hear it. And it should comfort us just as much, actually more, than hearing the voices than the voices of our friends, our family, our favorite author, whoever it may be. And so let us give thanks and prayer this morning for Jesus' voice and how it represents his love. Let us pray. God, teach us to hear your voice. Help us to be comforted by the sound of your voice. And help us to hear your voice and other familiar voices that we know, in the voices of those who we love and who love us. And in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may return to your seats, but better yet, you may go to Sunday school. You see Miss Vanessa or Miss Chelsea. I think it's just Miss Vanessa this morning. She's waving. You can see her. All right. Sheep. Sheep don't don ski masks and hold up banks. That should be apparent to everyone. But as absurd as that image is, it's the logical conclusion of the way this passage is often understood. Bad sheep don't listen to their shepherd's voice. They sneak and they try to find other ways around and in. Therefore, woe be to those who don't heed to a strict line of doctrine and try to enter the sheep's fold by another way. They are imposters, and the shepherd Jesus will sort them out. Don't dare jump the fence with your heresies as a springboard. But this is not Matthew's gospel recounting the parable of the sheep and the goats. This is John, following up on the report of the healing of the man blind from birth. If you weren't here for that lesson during Lent, I'll lend you my Cliff's Notes. Just let people enjoy things. Rejoice when good things happen to people. Don't get all hot and bothered when that doesn't happen how you wanted it to. Just be glad that it happened. Don't be a thief of joy. This morning, belatedly, we hear Jesus elaborate on that. You, Jesus tells his adversaries, are not the gatekeeper. I am, me and me alone. His words were not understood by those Pharisees who heard him. On that account, it's hard to fault them as Jesus mixes his metaphors. Are you the gate, Lord? Are you the keeper of the gate? Okay, both, but you could have been more clear about that. But scholars and commentators have puzzled and sparred about the next words attributed to Jesus ever since. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. Now, there's a despicable interpretation that uses these words to cancel all the prophets, the whole foundation of the Jewish religion that Jesus himself was raised in and followed, the Lord who upheld Moses, Elijah, the words of Isaiah, even his contemporary John the Baptizer, certainly didn't mean that. But it didn't stop Gnostics in that day from declaring the God of the Old Testament and the New to be different entities altogether. And it hasn't stopped today from seizing on these words to condemn modern-day Jews and all things Jewish. But what did Jesus mean? He was born into and came of age in and entered his ministry among a corrupted and sinful relationship between the local religious authorities and occupying Roman secular authority. He spoke in this passage to men who had sold out and who only dug in deeper to keep a hold on the power they had bought at the cost of their very integrity. But Jesus' criticism does not end with the sellouts, but it extends to the buyers. Rome created the conditions, and powerful empires will always be able to find collaborators to assist in achieving their aims. What greater thievery had the people of Israel known than the repeated taking of their homeland and suppression of their religion and culture? But what sin it is to keep the cycle going, to punch down at those who remain even less empowered, because that's a lot easier than rising up against a foreboding system. The Jewish leaders could still maintain a measure of control in this manner over many of their own people. And it's a pattern that plays itself out time and again throughout human history. But as is Jesus' role in the history of creation and salvation, he offers an alternative. One that these powers cannot fathom or co-opt nor defeat. Jesus can confidently say, "Look, I have my people, and my people have me. They're not going to listen to you. They have you figured out. They're not falling for that anymore. Any victory you think that you may win is a mirage. Who I am and what I am is the real deal. Your ways of control and manipulation," Jesus tells the earthly powers and power brokers, "they break down. They take away from people and dehumanize them. But Jesus offers his people, his sheep, a rich and abundant life. Not a life of riches and abundance, as his opposition is disposed to see myopically, but a life that is free and therefore priceless. A life that is free from playing these repetitive and futile games." Now, I've often overlooked it, getting fixated on the metaphor of the sheep in their pen, locked away safe by their good shepherd. But I love what Jesus has to say about the sheep who hear his voice and enter by him as the gate. The sheep, we go in and out, enter and exit. There's a safe place to call home, but it's also not just a place to bunker down and know that, well, I'm safe here among my fellow sheep who are just like me, and I'm never going back out in that mad, mad world out there. No, it's listen to Jesus. Come and go as you please. You'll be greeted with love, warmth, and kindness, a genuineness that you just won't find elsewhere when you do go in and go out. But you'll be able to go out and not have to be fazed by all the nonsense that you see when you're out there. You and I can always listen for a voice. A voice of truth that calls us home, that tells us we always have a place with him, that we have protection against the thieves that come to take away our joy and tell us that we don't have the right kind of abundance in our life. And it should give us confidence to know whom we belong to, the Good Shepherd Jesus, and that nothing we face in this world has the power to take that away from you nor from me. And this truth will hold up. Always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.